from the summit in Phoenix, Arizona, the Core presents Sales Training Bootcamp with Kendra Cook and Steve Kerr. Today's topic, time management for real estate.
All right, so we are in time management. How many of you need more hours in your day? Okay, well, I can't give you that. There's only 24 of them. But I'm going to show you how to rid some stuff off your schedule to where you can delegate, have a better schedule, and get some more time back in your day, okay? Gosh.
Oh, hi, honey. I'm sorry I'm late. Are you there?
Where are you?
You know, listen, I just need about 15 more minutes.
I'm so tired of real estate. You're never home. Our kid's in bed. I'm tired of it. Just stay gone.
No, honey. Can you wake the kids up, really? It's only 9:30.
Let that resonate for a second. How many of you got that call? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? How many of you had that call? How many of you have gotten home and they said, you missed the ball game? And hit the winning goal. Where's that hurt?
Oh, brings tears to your eyes.
My heart is trembling because I've gotten that call so many times in my life. And that's the one thing that I can tell you, two best things that I've ever gotten out of the Core is my money and my time. And what is time? How about respect? How about respect? Time is money, but money is respect, right? And God's not given us any more. We get 24 every day to be the best you can be. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer. Are you being the best respectful parent, spouse, team leader, mom, dad, sister, Christian that you can be? And if you're not, we're going to help you work on that today. Okay? So I'm glad you're here. It's my favorite class to teach. I am not the master of this, but I work on it all the time. If there's a mistake that you're making with time management, I've made it. Okay? I've snuck out of bed at night with my husband to drive my car to my office to work till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in my pajamas to come back in at 5 a.m. and lay down with my husband just before the alarm goes off. True story. For months, I have missed the Cub Scout meeting. I have missed the baseball game. I have disrespected my team by being late in a team meeting. I've done it all. I can tell you I don't do it anymore. So you can fix it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So to get started, I want to ask you a question. What is stealing your time? Steve, will you write this up on the board? We need to know what is stealing your time. Shout out some answers and I'll repeat them. Disorganization. Oh, it's key, right? Got to get your car in order, your desk in order, your closet in order. So you can, you know, I tell this funny story, but ladies, we're the worst. We go and we kick all of our shoes in the floor, and we can waste 10 minutes digging around trying to find the blue shoe that goes with the black shoe. Would you agree with that? Who else has that issue in their closet, right? Build some dadgum shoe boxes and stick your shoes in there. Save you some time. What do you got, Tom? So clients not being serviced fast enough for what they want, right? Questions from your clients. Yes, Ellie? Focus. We probably don't have focus because we don't have a time block schedule to know where we're going, what time we're supposed to be there, how long we got. We're going to work on that today. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Distractions.
Who loves their email? Oh, I hate it. It is the spawn of Satan, like the Jacob's ladder at the gym. Spawn of Satan is the email and the Jacob's ladder. Those are two things I hate the most. My trainer goes, get on Jacob's ladder. I'm like, spawn of Satan's in the house. Got to go get on that stupid thing. I hate it, right? Who knows what the Jacob's ladder is? Everybody know what that is? It is a ladder that is climbing, and you are climbing it, and you're on an incline, and it doesn't stop, and you're climbing, and you're climbing, and the rungs are moving. Yeah, it's the spawn of Satan. But email's just as bad. What else we got? Yes, sir. Oh, so delayed closings, all the bad news we get to deliver. We do that a lot. Anything over here?
Lack of delegation.
Oh, delegation. Master delegating. Okay, yes, ma'am.
Sloppy systems.
Sloppy systems. Yes, ma'am. There you go. Okay. So if we cover all of these things today, will you feel like you got what you came for and we can earn a 5 on your survey? Okay, good. So I'm going to bring the energy, but you got to bring the interaction. And then we got Master over here, Mr. Steve. I want to share a story about Steve before we start, and then we're going to jump in. I was on a call with Steve probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I was the up and coming trying to chase the luxury market. And so my first call with Steve, I didn't really know him. I'd seen him, but he's the all shucks guy. We all know somebody like him. And he's like, oh, I'm just getting by. And, you know, my team, we're just hanging in there. And we get on the first call, and he puts up a $100,000 pay log in January. I'm like, okay, my butt's on a platter. Here you go. So I was like, no more all shucks. I'm going to have to play at a different level. So this man has the quiet confidence of no other in the Corps. He is such a great dad. He is such a great husband. I got to meet his wife and spend time with them in Utah this just a couple months ago on the team retreat. They just have a great marriage. They boat, they ski. So you're going to get a real treat to hear from him today. And at that time, I was handing him his butt on a platter because I had the systems in place. Yeah. And his forms had coffee stains and, you know, crumbs on them. And they were 5 minutes before the call. And I thought, God, if he can get a $100,000 pay log with sloppy stuff, I got this in the bank, right? So he's come a long way. And eventually we're going to get back on a call. I'm going to get at his level one more time before we're done with this journey. But I'm honored to teach with you today. So.
I'm honored to be here. I'll just tell you a couple things. There's a couple people in the room, Mary Beth being one and Scott being another, that do know me. Mary Beth was on several calls with me, and there were many times when I was so unorganized that I just wouldn't turn the paperwork in. It wouldn't be complete. I would just be... And that was before we had videos, and we were just on the telephone, so I would just be in shame. Luckily, nobody could see me. And that is the worst feeling. How many of us get up at 3 in the morning to go get our forms turned in? It's just ridiculous. It's embarrassing. It doesn't need to be that way. So here's how we're going to handle those.
All right, so we're going to start with systems and structure. All right, so we're jumping in. Our goal today is to give you 6 or 8 tactics that you can fix in your systems. We're going to fix your delegation. And then before you get out of here today, we are going to do a time block schedule that you can go home and either implement for yourself or hand it to your RP1 and say, this is how I want to work going forward. Now, my favorite time management thing is go home and buy a $5 timer, kitchen timer. Rule number one, go buy a $5 timer. Put it on your desk. You have a time block schedule, and it says from 8 to 8:30, you get to check email and return voicemails. You set that sucker for 30 minutes, and you got 30 minutes to finish that task. And when it dings, you go to the next thing on your schedule. If you've ever seen one of my time block schedules, it has check marks. I'm a very visual person. So those of you in the room that say, oh, it's on my phone, it's no longer on your phone. You're going to print it. Because when that 30 minutes is done, check mark, we move to the next one. And if it's an hour to go into my team meeting or 30 minutes, you set that sucker for 30 minutes. And it goes, ding, guess what? I'm on to the next one. So people say, you're the Energizer Bunny. You never run out of energy. Well, guess what? How long do you sit in your chair and you're just bored to death and you're going through a file or you're working on your core forms and all the energy is just gone, right? Because we allow ourselves to go for an hour, hour and a half, we're not on a schedule, we just sit there, nobody's coming in, the phone's not ringing, right? We're not following our schedule. So every time that thing dings, it's like a jolt of energy. Whoop, on to the next thing. Energizer Bunny, whoop, on to the next task, right? So get used to following your schedule. We're going to talk about your time block schedule shortly, but get the timer. First thing, everybody should be number one. Get your time.
Great idea. Great idea.
All right, so tip number one for systems and structure. We talked about sloppy systems. The first system I want you to think about is a start time and a go home time. Why do we think we're the only industry that has to work 24 hours a day? Guys, doctors are saving lives, and they don't work 24 hours a day. But somehow we are super realtor with our big R on our chest, and we're going to get up at 4 and get our core forms done, and we're not going to bed till God knows when. No, We talk about our family being respectful. Tell them, I'm going to be home at 6. Rick talks about his story. I'm one more call, one more minute in the garage. If you tell your wife you're going to be home at 6, by George, you'd be home at 6.
Kendra, some of that is because, you know, we feel like we have all this time. Mm-hmm. You know, we can start earlier. We don't, you know, we can work till 9 o'clock at night. So we just kind of are a little bit sloppy. We don't have to fit into these exact time frames. And we think that we've got all this time, we can make it up. And we all tell ourselves that the harder we work, the luckier we'll get. Well, you know, this is what these systems are about, take the luck out of it. So we don't feel like we have to put in the extra hours.
Great point. We disrespect our time. So sometimes it's not about the family or the children, it's disrespecting yourself. And let me tell you folks one thing. If you don't respect yourself, ain't nobody else gonna respect you in your time. Nobody is gonna respect you and your time if you don't, right? The other thing I'll say right here is, what are you worth? What are you guys worth right now? Does anybody know what they're worth? Let's do a real quick exercise, not even in my outline. I love this. Take your what you project your net income to be for 2015. Write it down. This is just for you. We're not going to share these numbers, so don't, you know, have an anxiety attack. So let's say, for easy math, you're going to make 120 net. We're going to divide that number by 12 for 12 months, okay? So it's $10,000 a month. And now we're going to divide that by 160 because you're supposed to be working a 40-hour work week. So 160 hours in the month divided by that 10,000 number, that's what you're worth an hour. So if you're not doing things at that level, that number per hour, are you still respecting yourself?
Very good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that a big eye-opener for some of you in the room? Stop allowing people to disrespect you and come in 15, 20 minutes late. You don't do that to your team either. It's very disrespectful, all right? Here's the number two thing on systems and structure. Daily team meeting. How many in the room are currently having a daily team meeting? Not even half the room. You want to talk about eliminating distractions? Have a meeting. I need you to do this. I need help with this. I need this CMA by noon. Where's my closing folder? What happened with the lead, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? And guess what? When you walk out of that meeting, nobody's knocking on your door saying, I need 5 more minutes. I got a question. I forgot to cover this. Right? Everybody comes into that meeting prepared, and the distractions go away. This format should be written. It's not up here. I know we all think we're so good. Me included. Oh, I'll remember to tell that in the team meeting. No, you won't. Because somebody's going to come in and have a great story about what they did last night, and that idea just went out the window. And then guess what happens? When you go to interrupt them because you didn't cover it in the team meeting, what did you just create for them?
Chaos.
A distraction. Aren't we trying to eliminate distractions? Guys, I hate to tell you, but a lot of times, you're the problem. We're the problem. That's who we are. That's what we do, right? Why do you think your teams work for y'all? Why do you think, give me one reason why a team member would work for you, yes, Tom.
Successful
could be. How about they don't want the chaos that we live in every day? Most people take a 9-to-5 job because they don't want our job. They want stability. They want structure. They want a paycheck on Friday. They want fun. They want to be part of a vision, but maybe they're not the visionary. And so when we talk about distractions, a lot of times, as Rick said in our team meeting this morning, sometimes you got to turn that pointer back to yourself. Sometimes you're the distraction. So there's a team meeting sheet in here. We already gave you guys a little starter. You got to have it written down. So there's a copy of it in here. This is Steve's team meeting sheet. You put the date at the top. You do a quick icebreaker. Everybody have a good night. Everything good. You go right into leads. If you have buyer's agents and they're not bringing their lead trackers to your team meeting, shame on you. Accountability. We're holding you accountable. You take that accountability back to your team. Go through the leads real quick. Did you get a hold of Mr. and Mrs. Smith? No, I didn't. I left a message, but I'm on it. You run through all the leads that came in the day before. Any follow-up, you go right onto the calendar. Everybody know where they're supposed to be today? We've all got a pre-printed schedule. Shocker, right?
Every day it's the same. Every day.
Every
day. Consistent. Everything we do, every day is the same.
Go right into closings. Any problems? This is distraction management. Okay? Then we go into action items. Anything you need from them, anything they need from you, and you close it out with any loose ends. Now, I will tell you, you will have a pipeline meeting once a week, and those are about 45 minutes. So that's the only time you deviate from your system of your team meeting. The main thing is the team will buy into that if you just lead it. But if you come in 5 minutes late, or I'm so tired, we'll just skip the team meeting. I've done it. I'm just speaking from the heart. I'm tired. I'm not in a good mood. I'm not ready to pep anybody up. We'll just not have a team meeting this morning. What did I just say to my team? It's okay to blow it off. It's not important. Your time's not. I don't respect your time. Especially buyer's agents that drove all the way to the meeting for a 15-minute pepper-upper. And I didn't pepper-upper. Right? Yes, Tom?
So what do you do about when you have a team meeting scheduled, but, I've got a client that wants to see a house or wants me to meet with them at that time. I see a lot of canceling of things because, there's a client out there that wants something.
Go ahead, Steve, take that.
So it's very simple. It just depends on how you set up your appointments during the day. If you're setting them up, you'll probably do that, Tom, because, you make that equation real quick. $10,000 or $15,000 versus meeting with my team. So you don't do that. The appointments are set up by your RP1, your calendaring person. And that's sacred time. It has to be that way. And only on just a rare occasion, but in that occasion what we do is we'll call in from the road. But it may happen once a month. It's just sacred time. And when you believe it's sacred time, it's just like a kid's baseball game, Are you going to, are you going to let some appointment get in the way of your kid's home run? Are you going to make the rest of the day chaos just for that one appointment that may not amount to anything? So you should be able to schedule it before or after. We have our team meeting at 9:15 every day. So that allows for a breakfast or a coffee meeting, showing something early, and then afterwards. Yes?
Good point.
What about scheduled closings? Do you prioritize your team meetings over scheduled closings?
Yes. We have our same calendar person sets it up with the escrow. The escrow organizes it. And the escrow company knows how important that is. You got to start working with the same people time and time again, or at least make sure if it's not your choice of escrow, that person knows that 9 o'clock is not, or from 9 to 9:40 is not a time that's negotiable.
The main thing is when you guys realize that you don't have to be in charge of your calendar, if you have more than a team of one, give your calendar to your RP1, you're no longer the bad guy. So when the title rep calls and says, hey, we scheduled this closing for 9, I'm sorry, Kendra already has an appointment. Guess what? I'm not the bad person, and they don't need to know what the appointment is. I just can't be there. But usually, what do we try to be? What I say we got on our chest? Super realtor, right? The big R. Oh, we can make every appointment. And so what we do is we go take care of that one client and we mess on our team. Because I just told my team, it's not important. Okay? So don't for a second think that it's okay to miss. Okay? So I was here Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and I called in. I was here. I'm out of town. I call in. Okay? You got to have that buy-in from your team. We've talked a lot about that at this event. All right? So let's move on to number 3, clear and direct communication and delegation. Clear delegation, clear communication. I will give you an example of this. We are dump and go people. We are high D personality. I run in and I say, hey, I need this house, a CMA on that house, and I'll be back and get it. When am I coming to get it? When do I need it? When is the appointment? What do they need to know? And so I come back in at 11:30. I'm like, where's my listing packet to my CMA? I got to go. I got to be there at 12. How did they know that? Was she supposed to read my mind? That's how most of us delegate. Would you agree? I need. No clear direction. No clear delegation. No time, when, who, how. Get better about that. Team meetings will eliminate a lot of those issues if you go back to the team meeting. Okay? Think about what we said. Realtors, we live in chaos. Our team doesn't want that. Don't add that added chaos. Karen's in the room. I'm coaching her right now. I'm not saying she's in chaos, but she texted me yesterday and said, you're not going to believe this. My RP1 quit via text. We are going to deal with crap all the time. So the more systems you put in place to not deal with crap, the better off you are. I'm not saying she was in chaos, but she is now because she's here and she didn't have an RP1.
The perfection to that was I spoke with my RP2 this morning and asked her to post the position, and she said there was dead silence. And I said, okay, what's going on? And she said, well, until you can show up every day for the team meeting, I feel you're incapable of managing an RP1.
Ooh. Guys, that's what our teams think of us when we live as a hot mess. And thank goodness that her RP2 feels comfortable enough to tell her that. Yeah. I mean, we were in our coaches meeting, and Rick said, if your director of ops doesn't tell you no, you got the wrong person on the team. Darlene tells me all the time, oh, oh. Hey, can you give me my paycheck? She's like, oh, oh, Friday, right? You got to have somebody that stands up to you and holds you accountable. Obviously, Karen's RP2 is ready for some accountability in her life, so she's going to hold this one accountable. Guys, we create most of this chaos, and we don't have to. So clear, firm, direct delegation and communication, okay? The next one is a printed daily schedule. I said that earlier. You'll see a copy of mine in the book on page 201, and if it were in color, you would see everything's a different color. So my core color is blue. If I'm doing something for the core, it's blue. My favorite color is purple. So if it's something personal, it's purple. Date night's purple. My workouts in the morning are purple. If I get a nail appointment on Friday afternoon, it's purple, right? So equate these things. My green time is what color? Okay? So a different color, when it's time blocked, I can look at my schedule and go, ooh, I got a jam-packed morning, but if I can just get to 2 o'clock, I'm peace out, right? Time block schedule needs to be colored and printed. Cannot be in your phone. All right, next is callback times on your voicemails. I know several of you in here don't have a team. If you don't have a team, you have to manage the chaos by telling your clients what to do. How many of you are afraid to be honest with your clients? Be honest. Raise your hands. Okay? So I want everybody to raise your right hand and put your finger in the air and twirl it around like you just don't care. Look around the room. Everybody but Ricardo is doing it because he's on his phone. He's poor time management. Isn't it amazing that people will do what you tell them to do? All of you just made a fool of yourself because I told you to. Right? So if your voicemail says, leave a message, I'll call you back between 10 and 11 and 2 and 3, what do you think people will do?
Wait.
They'll leave you a message. And guess what? They know when you're going to call them back. So they're not going to text you and call you and email you and text you and call you and email you 6 times in an hour. Does anybody have some clients like that? Because you know why? You didn't tell them you were unavailable. Because our industry is we're available 24/7. We're always on call. Right? We're always here for you. No, we're not. We do get to sleep and eat and potty once in a while. Right? So tell your voicemail in the morning, hi, it's Tuesday, April 2nd. Thank you so much for your call. If you leave a message, I'm returning calls between 10 and 11 and 2 and 3. I promise to return your call. Your business is so very important to me. Make it a great day.
How many in the room do that? How many change your voicemail every day? Such a simple thing to do. Such a simple thing to do. And it's so powerful. Your people that leave messages, hey, I like your voicemail. Hey, that's great. I know, you know, everybody knows you're working. What's the biggest complaint about realtors besides not returning phone calls? They don't know if you're working or not. So every morning when you get up, you say, hey, this is Steve Kerr. It's a great day to buy or sell some real estate. Today is April 2nd. I'll be returning calls between, you know, this time and that time. It's so simple, and it's just part of a ritual that you get into every morning on your checklist. Change your voicemail.
Yes, Jen, did you have a question?
Because so many of my clients are tech savvy, is there an app out there where it will automatically answer back that quote that you just said, because my iPhone will not do that. Like, I can't put in...
Ask Greg Gale. He's okay. The technology wizard. I just left his class. My head's still
somewhere.
Spinning.
I just don't know where it's
ask
at.
Greg Gale. He's okay. The tech guy. I'm sure there is one.
Another
sure.
question here.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Juan's got a question.
What would be the return... the time to return phone calls, if you leave a message 3 times during the day, 2 times, and what times do you recommend?
I think it depends on your schedule. I don't leave my message, and I will be perfectly honest with you, I don't do callback times anymore because I send all my calls to my team. I get so few calls on my cell phone that my cell phone number is on nothing.
Yep.
So my cell phone number is not on a name writer. It is not on my website. It is nowhere. So if you have it, consider yourself lucky. Because I don't advertise my cell phone number anywhere. Because I don't want them texting me.
So that's something everyone of us can do on that last page of our book. You know, take the cell phone numbers off.
You'll get your life back.
Yep.
You will. Juan, to answer your question, you have to look at your schedule. So if you're tied up from 9 to 11, return calls from 11 to 12, and then again in the afternoon. So you can change it every day. It could be different. You need to look at your schedule and see what it looks like. Does that help? Okay, another system structure that will save you time is you have to prospect and protect the power hour. Let me tell you the importance of your power hour. I want you to think of your business as an assembly line, and there's 3 stops. There's stop 1, stop 2, and stop 3, okay? So we're down here, and we're prospecting like a madman. We are killing it, we are phoning it, we are happy houring it, we have got this piece covered, right? And then we run over here and we got a service. This is service, prospect service, get those repairs negotiated, write that contract, get everything worked out, work the details, make sure the inspection's taken care of. And then we're going to run down here. We're going to show up at the closing with our super S on our chest. And we look back down there. What's down there? Who's there? Why do you have ebbs and flows in your business? Because you don't protect the power hour. That cannot ever be removed off of your schedule. And that's the first thing that we go, oh, I'm just supposed to be making my calls. I'll just skip that today. I'll just go right here. And then guess what? On Tuesday, you're like, oh, I ain't got time for that because I'm here and there. So I'll just stay right here. And every day goes by, who's in that chair? And then you guys call me and go, oh, I didn't have my dashboard. I suck. I quit. Think about that for a second. But that's the first thing you're willing to take off your time block schedule every day. Who's honest enough to say that? Because this is where the rejection is. This is where the hard work happens. This is the easiest time for us to be distracted by our team. And yet we make the most money right here and we spend the least amount of time every day right here. Take that analogy home with you and put it in your office. Do a timeline and see how much of your time every day, what percentage of your 8 or 9 or 10 hour day is spent here. And when you do that analogy and you go, I'm spending 20% right there, you're going to get 20% efforts back down here. Yet we all give up our power hour. Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about how you prepare yourself for your happy hour. How do you isolate yourself, go to an office by yourself?
Happy hour or power hour?
No, I'm sorry.
Power hour.
Power hour.
My power, I was like, happy hour, I have no problem getting to happy hour. I'm the first one in the door at happy hour. Power hour. Okay, let me get my head back. So power hour, here's the thing. Our team doesn't understand the importance of it because we don't show them this. Okay? They think the importance is down here at the closing table because that's where their paycheck is. We don't get our team to buy into our vision. I will tell you, my team tells me all the time, you don't ever work. You go to coffee, you go to lunch, you have the best job ever. They're joking, they know. But that is sacred. And if I can do that 2 hours a day, I get to party the next 6. I mean, let's be honest. I go to closing with gifts. I go to happy hours. I go to a chamber event. I go to women in business. I eat good fat lunches. I go to conventions in these beautiful resorts. And guess who's back there working? So what do they protect if I don't tell them how important this is? So my new personal assistant, she'll be with me 2 years in February. That was the first thing I taught her because she prints the call list. So I said, if this doesn't happen, you don't have a job. She's 24, she got it, right? So you need to go back and do that analogy for your team in a meeting and say, this is sacred. You cannot move it. My rule is you can move it. You cannot remove it. So if Maggie needs to put a closing at 10 to 11, and that's my power hour, guess when I'm doing power hour? 2 or 3. But it's going to get done. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand how important that is? And when you protect that hour in your schedule, you make a lot more money. Kendra, time management.
Could I just add one thing
Please
to that?
Do.
Because this was something that went off for me a couple years ago, that the most important thing I think that Kendra said, besides the visualization, which is excellent, was who are you going to call, right? Isn't that the hardest thing? You know, you all want to call, but who are you going to call? And you don't know because your mind's going 100 different places. But when that RP1, one of his or her biggest job is to clip to your daily schedule, it's on your desk every morning, the 15 calls or 20 calls or 12 calls, whatever you tell that person to do, if they're there clipped and all you have to do is flip the page, dial the phone, and talk, it makes it, otherwise you're not going to do it. You're not going to go look for the phone numbers. Can you find them? You get distracted and something else. They got to be there. If they're not there, you're not going to go to the next step.
That's a great tip. Great tip.
So during that power hour, how many calls are you limiting? I have a tendency to drag on my phone calls. Are you egg timering your calls?
You can. I Ooh. Used to. When I first started, I did.
How
I
you
definitely
stay super
did.
Efficient.
And okay. You know what I usually say when you're just doing those calls, unless it's a whale call or something like that you need to spend some more time in, the key to that is, hey, Mike, I just got a couple seconds, but you popped up on my calendar today, and I'm so excited to chat with you. How are you and your wife? I know you're expecting. How's she feeling? How's the baby? And oh, wait, just go ahead and preset the call that I've only got a couple minutes. I don't want to take a lot of your time. Then they don't draw out that. The other thing is if you're calling them at work, you don't want to stay on the phone a long time with them. You want to get in, get out. Okay, so set the precedent. But you can use your egg timer. I used to have to do that. Rick says I'm long-winded. Can't imagine. Yes, ma'am.
One thing that really surprised me when we chatted was that you are not having top producer open.
No.
So, Kendra, you are not on your computer, which to me is just you get blipped, you get beeped, you remember a million things, that you are not in front of the computer when you're doing calls, and that really hit me.
Yeah.
Distraction thing.
No distraction, right. So I went to the internet class earlier, if you were in there, and I looked at Rita about 20 minutes in. I'm like, they're up here, and I don't even know the password to top producer on my desk. Okay, honest to God, I don't even know the password to get in top producer. She knows. I don't. That's just not where I spend my time. But that's what happens, guys, because this is not sacred to you. So it's easier to get in dilly-dally and type and ding and then email and then, right? This took me from a $30 million producer to a $60 million producer.
Wow. That's great.
Was protecting this. I never prospected really religiously and probably till the last 3 years. And I mean, I get it. It was like one day I was on a call. I don't even remember who was on my call. And it was like, they are handing me my tail. I need to get in the game. And so if I can do that for 2 hours a day, I get to go party the rest of the time. I mean, that's what my team thinks I do anyway. So sign me up, right? So if the money's rolling in, who cares, right? The last thing on my list, and we're going to turn it over for team delegation and systems, but we have theme days in the core. Who follows their theme days? Okay? So if you look on my schedule, let's see what theme day was this. Hot leads and old leads. Look from 1 to 2. So I have coaching the coaches call on Wednesday, so my power hour is not in the morning, it's in the afternoon every other week, right? So from 1 to 2, that would have been orange because my prospecting, I'm sorry, green because that's my prospecting power hour. So every day, I get my printed calendar and my call list. So Maggie knows on Monday, I call VIP. So she took my 50, and she has them broke down in group 1, group 2, group 3, group 4, okay? So I only see the group I get to call today, because guess what used to happen? I got the whole list, and I was like, oh, I'll call him, because he's easy conversation. And I'll call her, because we're going out for drinks anyway. And then I kept calling the same people over and over, because they were the easy calls. Who makes the easy calls? That's why somebody else has got to print my call list. Does that make sense? So Monday, you get your 12 VIPs. That's who I call. I write the notes on the paper. I give it back to her. She puts it in top producer. Tuesday, I get my status calls. I call my sellers every other week. My listing coordinator calls, we call opposite, so I get half the list this week, the opposite half next week, okay? So it's just rotating, but I only see the calls that I have to make. My letter of the week calls come on Wednesday. They're on my desk. So if I'm calling P's, I got from Wednesday to Friday to get them done. So if I got like T's, there's three pages, I got to get on it. So you just got to really have those theme days to stick to who to call. So when you call to list your house with me, you get categorized, whether you're an SOI, a potential listing. If you're going to be, if your last name ends in G, you're going to be a G call. When you close on your anniversary, you're going to be a March anniversary. So you may have 8 or 10 categories. I guess I'm talking lingo. I really don't know. Huh? It's contact list. Okay, thank you. And so it's funny because Tim Lickney, is he in this room? No? Oh, yes, he is. So what was our homework assignment and what did I tell you I'm doing? So we all printed our CRMs before we came here. Mine is, I showed it to them. It's like this thick. And it, my assistant printed it. And so I have been sitting in my room the first 2 days I got here with my door open and a little glass of wine. And I'm like going through, making sure everything's updated. If I'm missing an email, I've highlighted it so somebody can call and get an email. If you're not doing that twice a year to clean up that list, you're missing a huge opportunity. Because people... email addresses change, phone numbers change, so clean up your CRM. So then each category is listed on each individual name. So if she just needs to pull G's, she just pulls the G list, and that's what I see. Okay? Yes, Eric.
We talked about, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday, Friday, and then do you do anything on the
weekends?
Thursday's
hot leads, Friday's wells and business. Are you in the core? Are you coaching right now?
Yeah.
And you don't know the
I do have this schedule.
Okay. But, get those on your calendar. Thursdays, hot leads. Fridays, business whales. Business and whales. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Steve, but before I do, everybody get your book out. You just wrote down how many, 2, 4, 6, 8 things. I want you to circle the 2 you're going to do as soon as you get home. Maybe it's as little as adding the times on your voicemail. Maybe it's a printed schedule if it's in your phone and you need to print it so you can check it off and be visual. Circle the 2 things that you will do immediately when you get home. Okay? All right, so Steve, teach us some systems and structure for our RP1 to get us some time.
Very good, very good. Thank you, Kinder. Boy, that was really something, I tell you. The 2 takeaways from that was just real simple. Theme days and your power hour or hour and a half, whatever it is. I mean, it's just so simple, and they both work together in synergy, and it's really cool because then you know who to call all the time. Your people put it together for you. How many people in the room have an RP1? So just about everybody. Very good. So I think that the next level to your business comes from making checklists. I work on a checklist every day. I have a morning checklist. I have one before I leave the house, make the bed, pick up the clothes, do not read the paper, and, you know, one other thing on there. But I just check. I don't even remember what it is because I just look at it. I have a little, it's crazy, but I have a little sign right out my door, and my wife and daughter, I don't even think really know it's there. It says checklist. So I make sure before I get out the door. When I get the office, I have a checklist. Same deal. What do I do every morning? Because if you don't, you know, I get the office pretty early, but no matter when you get the office, you'll get distracted. So go to your checklist. So we make our team a checklist. So my team has the checklist that they work off of, and I have a couple of them. Another thing I'd like to say about the calendar, we rate our day on the calendar every day. So we do an Outlook calendar, and at the end of the day, we rate our day, 1 to 10, because I think it really is a telling. It really tells you the story. You're being honest with yourself. How do you rate your day? How'd you do today? Did you make all your calls? Did you see your 3 people face to face? Did you have your break breads? Did you write your thank you notes? Okay? You do all of that and your day is probably an 8, something like that. You know, if you had a sale to it or a listing to it, maybe it's a 9. But if you don't do some of those things, then it's a 5. And you can look for a pattern if you save your, I love notebooks, so I put everything in the notebook, and you can go back and look, and if you see when you're a little bit slow in escrow, if you go back, you look at your lead trackers, and you also look at your rating of the day. So rate your day. Have your team rate their day as well. On my RP1 checklist, you know, they first thing they do, and I have a checklist in there that you guys can use. You can modify it any way you want, but it's a good thing to get started with. But it starts with the emails. You know, I try not to read the emails. Now, sometimes I'm drug into it on my phone and this sort of thing, but the team should read the emails. And they should go back to the and go forward. What do you mean? Is every day they're doing the same thing. Like run the experiment the day before. Tires are kind of easy. And fire. Stuff that you're not doing, you're kind of our leads and our lead tracker. They prepare the files needed the following day and leave for the team leader. You gotta have, when you walk in to do business that day, you have to have your daily list that you're working off of. You also have to have the files that you need for that day completed the day before, so that you don't have to start from zero. You just pick up the file, you have your list, you have your checklist, and on that, on your daily list, again, is your top producer, whatever your CRM management tool is, the phone calls that you're going to make. Because then you can grab what you need, you can have your half an hour team meeting, and you can get out, and then you can make your power hour calls. If you have an office where you can shut the door, great, make them from your office. But many times I'll make them from my car. I will get out of the office. Because when you're in the office, if everything's set up right, you're really just getting in the way. You're trying to do the easy stuff, which is, oh, I can take that file. Oh, you got a problem? Let me, you know, what is it? I can fix it. Because in our previous lives before the core, that's really all we did. We put it in escrow. We, you know, went through all the inspection stuff. We handled all that. And we just sat on them like, you know, like eggs, you know, waiting for them to hatch. And it was just terrible because now almost everybody in this room has somebody to do that, right? So we also go through our, you know, on this RP1 checklist, there's things that they do every week, and there's things that they do every month, and there's things that they do semi-annually. How many have your RP1s do your evidence of success and letter from the heart? Now, you have to make the outline, but they can, you know, they know you pretty well. They can interview you. They can write it up. Who's not sending out an EOS and letter of the heart? Who's not sending those out? So that should be, you know, that's an easy system to implement. It's simple. It's not easy.
Steve, can I ask you two questions?
Yes.
One, in the team meeting, when you give them additional to-do lists, do they just write it on this, like out beside it, or do they have a separate, like, sheet that they write on?
Is that, which do you have there?
I have the RP1 checklist where
very
it says
good.
Daily, weekly. So would they just add like a daily task to that if I was to assign them something?
What we have is we have, in my office, everyone on our team has a different colored sheet of paper and they bring it in.
Okay, good.
So we keep it that way because everybody knows whose color is whose. And like if I happen to be there at the end of the day, need somebody to do something the next day, I just write it on their color paper and stick it on their desk. So they bring those. So that's a good
Ooh,
point.
Ooh, I love that. So color coding, you could almost color code it to match your time block color coded schedule. Ooh, I will add that.
It's a great idea. I find color paper to be very, very helpful in our business because we have a lot of papers around.
Okay, and question number two, are they turning this daily checklist into you? Is somebody holding them accountable to make sure all these things happen? Or are you just on the honor system or how's that work?
You know, we're on the honor system, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring it in and go over it. Yeah, good comments. But I think it's the team leader's checklist that really sets the stage. Okay, so the team having a checklist for yourselves, when you get there in the morning, and then when you go home in the afternoon, you know, or when you go home in the evening before you leave, you spend time filling out your checklist. On my checklist, a couple of things I'm really proud of. My go home checklist. At the end of the day, I have something that says, how can I be a better father? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better team leader?
Wow.
You know, those are things. Because who thinks about it?
That's a wow right there. How many of you think that's a wow? You could ask yourself that.
You know, and then you'll get the gift for our, you know, on our 210 form or 10-2 form. You know, how many of them get gifts for their clients but don't get a gift for their spouse or their kids? You know, come on. Anyway, so we rate the day. I also have my team rate their day. So prioritizing my to-do list. So that's pretty simple. We go through that in our team meeting. And, you know, we always, time-sensitive things, if we're going to categorize or prioritize always what's going to make the team the most amount of money soonest, okay? That is how we do prioritize when we get down to having several things that need to be done. However, we do hold that space for our team meeting and our power hour sacred, okay? So those are always blocked out. On my team, I have two RP2s, a team leader, and a dialer. And then I have two RP1s, and then I have five RP2s. So the RP2s will call in. They don't have to be there all the time in the meeting, but they have to call in or get on the video to come into the meeting, unless they are closing a transaction, writing a transaction, taking a listing, because they come on at 9:15, and I want everybody there. I want to know what they're doing. You know, some people say, "Oh, we don't need our RP2s; they're too busy." Well, I think it's baloney. At 9:15, they can have a morning coffee. They can, you know, be out working, and they can stop. They can call in. I want to know that everybody every day is working, okay? I want to know that everybody on my team, my RP2s, change their voicemail every day. That's what our clients want. They want to know we're working. So we went over the Care Property Group team meeting sheets, pretty simple. And then we have a loose end tracker. How many times at the end of the day do you not know exactly what was completed or what wasn't completed? So we have this form, very simple, loose end tracker. So people fill it out, and we go over it the next day at the meeting. They'll lay it on their desk in one spot, so if I have to come in the evening for some reason, I want to know what's been going on, I don't necessarily need to call them. I can just see what was done, what wasn't done.
Guys, that would eliminate, I don't know if any of you are a little bit of a control freak. I'm sure you're not. But when you get... You know, at the end of the day, you get home at 6:30 at night and somebody calls you and says, did my appraisal come in? Or do you know if the paperwork got sent to the title company? Wouldn't it be nice if you had a loose end tracker that if you had to run back to the office or if they could just scan it and send it to you in an email or something just so we rest better at night? I'm not a good sleeper anyway because I'm a worry wart. So if I just kind of had that download email or that loose end tracker, that would be huge for all of us.
We just make it part of the system,
yes.
And they know we do it, because we worry all the time. Okay, the call list, okay? One of my RP1s prints my call list. I am going to implement when I get back, and I would highly recommend this for everybody, because there's nothing worse, as much as we hate it when our RP1s say this, well, gee, I printed the list and you're not making the calls. Anybody get that? Don't you just hate that? You know, because you always got an excuse, right? None of them matter, because what they see is, hey, we're doing this work, you're not making the thing. So we're going to implement a $100 fine. At the end of the day, if I don't make my calls, I give $100 to my RP1 that makes the list. And, you know, that's pretty powerful, you know, and you just put it right there and she'll know. It will force us to make sure we get those calls made. Right, Mary Beth? Okay, top 10 realtor laws. We love this at our office. We have this posted, who's responsible for what. Okay, everybody knows this list, top 10 realtor laws. If you don't, you need to get it from the concierge, because it really, everything that we're supposed to do is on here. We've assigned this list to one of our RP1s or our office manager in the office. So that's one thing that is very important to do. Make the assignment to your staff on who's going to do these things. We have our gifting program. It's set out. It's laminated. It's at our office. You guys can't read this. I'll be happy to send it to you. You know, I think that the bottom line is this with your RP1s. You've got to make sure that they know what to do. It's like anything. They just have to know what to do. Is there any questions here? Yes.
Are you prioritizing transactions? Because, I mean, if I go over my entire escrow every single day, it would be a long meeting. So right. I'm trying to figure out what does that look like when you're having that?
For us, we typically, you know, our celebration number is 20, okay? So we're always striving to get there. So the escrows are basically if there's problem escrows, okay?
Yeah. And for me, Jeremy, that looks like what do we have closing this week? Have we already got the HUD? Is the time set? Is the walkthrough done? So we cover them by week. Because I have a pipeline meeting outside of a daily team meeting with just my closing coordinator. It's about 45 minutes long on Thursday because I'm in the office on that day anyway. That's my in the office day. And we go through every single folder and file that's on the closing board. But your daily meeting is, hey, buyer's agent, you've got two closings this week. Is everything set up? Do you need anything? Do you need my help? Are the closing gifts ready to go? Stuff like that. Yes, Tom.
So I'm sure a lot of people are looking at the schedule. But when do you show homes? When do you do listings?
Yeah, that's a good question. So most of my showings get farmed out to my team. Okay, so I try just to do the listings. I'll take the big sales, and there are times, you know, when we have an out-of-town client come in, you know, we'll pick them up at 9 o'clock, and sometimes it's just unavoidable. Okay, and I'll be making my call into my team on the way to pick the people up, this sort of thing, and my team leader can handle the meeting. Okay, and then I just get notes because we always have a team meeting log. But as far as listings go, you know, listings do trump some of the other things in there. So,
question:
is Tuesday updates considered a power hour or not?
Unless you're asking every single one of them for a referral. Okay.
But we do count it that way because we do ask for referrals, because when you do them regularly, you earn the right to ask. If you're not doing your power hours, why we don't get more current client referrals. You do not earn the right to ask because you're not consistent with it. So you're embarrassed, right? Isn't that really the deal? So when we do them consistently, that's when we're at the top of our game, and that's when we have the right, or our RP1s have the right to ask.
Okay, so systems and structure for your RP1. He gave you 7 great ideas. They're going to print your daily schedule instead of you printing it. Prioritizing your to-do list. They do that for you. I don't sit and prioritize if I need to move this listing here in my power hour there. That's already done when I get my schedule. That's their job. Having them put cards on your desk. This is huge. How many of you struggle to get your 10 thank you cards out every single week? Being transparent. Okay, so we put a system in place. Everything I do is a system. If I go on an appointment with you, when I get back to my office, in my inbox is my note card underneath the flap of the envelope, and the envelope's already addressed to you. So I turn it over and I go, oh, I had dinner with Heath Barnes. I write the note, I stick it back in the envelope, and I put it in the outbox. Single day is your envelopes ready in your box or on your somebody else. You don't have to go look at the policy. 5 was be responsible for the program in the top club. Rate your program, your top and your birthday. Under 5 right now. Most of the to somebody, right? And you go, oh, I'll just call and take the gift over there, right? So delegate that stuff to somebody else and don't think about it. I used to think, oh, I have to buy my VIP gifts. My agent or my assistant is so much better at the gifting than I am. Number 6 was let them manage your happy hours. How many of you are currently doing a happy hour? So most of the room, how many of you that your RP1 takes care of everything, you just show up? Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah, it's fun.
Those of you that don't, go home and sit down with your RP1 and give them a checklist. I want the email e-bite to go out on this date. I want you to call the restaurant on this date. I want the menu already picked before I get there. I don't want them coming to ask me what appetizer they want. Do y'all want that?
No.
No, right? Delegate that to somebody else, okay? And the last thing he talked about, or didn't talk about, but I want to talk about, and I saw it's on his checklist, is client parties. How many of you have given the client parties away? I'm going to tell a funny story about Rick. When he listens to the CD, I'll probably be in trouble. Rick likes to do the same thing every time because he's comfortable there, right? How many of you get comfortable and it's like, don't change my routine? So we come in the meeting this morning, he goes, how many of you like the carnival? We all raised our hand. He said, how many of you like Family Feud? I didn't like it very much, but it was fun, right? He didn't plan it, so he didn't know what was going to be there. But that's the whole point of it. If you delegate it to somebody else, it changes. How many of you show up at your same happy hour and you have the same nacho plate and the same this and the same that, and you start out with 10 or 15 people, and then you're down to 10, and then they're down to 5, because it's boring. Nothing changes. So we do themes. Like for Valentine's Day, we did chocolate. We did all desserts. Instead of appetizers, it was all desserts. That was a change-up. For St. Patty's Day, I took everybody a lottery ticket, and we all scratched them off at the same time to see who won money, right? Just change it up a little bit. It's not that you have to change the venue, but when you give it to somebody else, it doesn't become stagnant and stale. And that's where a lot of us are. No offense, but we've been doing this a long time, some of us have, and we're tired. I don't want to think anymore. Let somebody else think, right? So delegate those client parties and stuff to somebody else on the team. So 7 great systems. I want you to take a second and circle the 2 things you're going to do immediately when you get home. Which 2 are you going to delegate away immediately? All right, everybody got their 2? All right, so I'll make y'all a deal. We have about 22 minutes. We're going to do your perfect time block schedule over the next 10 to 12 minutes, and then we're going to open up for Q&A. Make sure we cover everything that you wanted to cover, and that way we can open it up for lots of Q&As. All right, so turn to page 206 in your book. And before we jump into that, I just want to say something to all of us. I think it's funny that our industry probably is one of the biggest strugglers with time management. Would you guys agree with that? I mean, most people have a set time schedule and somebody's not dictating our time. But I don't want you to ever feel like you're in the boat alone, because I read 2 realtor magazines coming out here and both of them had a time management, how to be a better time management. This one was 5 time management strategies to keep your day and your office in check. The other one was very, very similar. But I tore it out just because I'm like, if we're always working on it, everybody in our industry is always working on it. So it's a continuation time after time, day after day. I mean, you got to keep working on it. You're not going to master it overnight, but a lot of it comes down to discipline and delegation. The more you delegate away from yourself to somebody else that does it better, you get so much more time back in your schedule. Okay, so think about time management as discipline and structure, but great delegation. If you're not a great delegator, start working on that. Delegating with your kids, delegating with your spouse, delegating with your partners, delegating, and you'll get better at it to where you get that time back in your schedule. Okay, all right, so let's start working on the perfect time block schedule. So the first thing I want you to do is me time. Because if you're not good for yourself, how are you good for anybody else? I love these people that go, I don't have time to work out. Well, guess what? When you have a heart attack, who's going to work for you then? My marriage is falling apart because I don't have 15 minutes to meditate or walk in a park. Bull crap. You got to get yourself fixed before you can fix anybody else's life. And doesn't everybody think we're a fixer? We can fix it because we can sell the house. We can fix it because we can help them buy a house, right? But at the end of the day, when you're broken, how do you help anybody else? So the first thing I want you to do is look at that schedule and put in your me time. Me time is meditation, going to church, Bible study, workout, whatever your me time is. This is not my schedule. This is yours. Be realistic. If you get up before 7, as most of us do, your schedule might start at 6. Just change the time on the side. You're going to fix it when you get home. So if you know what time you're going home every night, and you're going to work out in the afternoons, then your me time or your workouts are in the afternoon. If you're going to get up early and do it before your kids get out of bed, then it's morning. I made that number 1 because you should be number 1. You should love yourself enough to take the time. Okay? Number 2 is family time. We in the core want you to have a date night with your spouse or significant other every single week. If you have little kids, I get it. It might have to be every other week. but you better start it, and you better start it now. True story, my son just accepted his invitation to attend the University of Minnesota. He is leaving his mama and going a long way from home, and we knew it was coming. So my husband and I, 3 years ago, have been religious with our Thursday night date night. He goes to a small group at church. And yesterday, I got a ding on my phone, and it was my husband put a post on Facebook. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you probably saw it. And he said he was feeling empty because while I was here pouring on you guys, I wasn't home for my date night last night. That's how it's changed my marriage. And he used to get what was left of me and not the best of me. And let me tell you something. We're 20 years in May, and we got 20, 30, 40 left thanks to the core. So you got to get some family time on your schedule. Date night, walk in the park, ice cream. We do crazy stuff. We go bowling. We went and played laser tag. I can't do that anymore. I'm too old. But, you know, whatever. Christmas shopping. We love to go Christmas shopping together. Number three is power hour. Phone prospecting. Phone prospecting. I delegate 2 hours every day on the phone. I don't know what your work day looks like, so you may have to split it up. You can do an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon. You knock 2 hours out in the afternoon. Some of you may not know, but I recently opened my own company. Funny story. Bob is amazing. I said that earlier. My previous owner, broker owner, and they transferred my license, I didn't have anywhere to go. My office wasn't ready, so I sat at Centennial Park 2 hours a day for 3 days in a row to prospect because I couldn't do it anywhere else. I was like, if I'm at home, I will be distracted. So I went to the park and sat in my car. Do what you got to do. Got to prospect. Okay, so we're going to move to number four. Before I move to number four, Steve, how many hours a day do you phone prospect?
Two hours.
Two hours?
Yep.
Okay.
Time block, 2 hours.
Okay. Just making sure we're all on the
same
page.
And a lot of it depends on if you leave a message or you talk to.
Sure.
If you talk to, it takes longer.
That's right. True. True story. How many of you struggle just getting through 1 hour? Be real. A lot of us, right? Too many distractions. Number four, showing and listing appointments, Tom Merritt. We got you. Got to block in some hours for showings and listings. So those look like it just says appointments. And then your RP1, who's managing your schedule, can go back in there and say, I need a listing appointment for this hour, showings for this hour. I hope at this point 70% of your calendar is full. Those are the four most important things you have to do every day. 70% of your calendar should be full. Think about that for a second. If you spend 1 hour a day on yourself and 1 hour a day on your family, that's two gone. You got 5 hours of prospecting, 4 or 5 hours. Now you're 6 hours in. Guess what you haven't done? What have you not done yet? Team meeting? Checked your email? Returned a voicemail? Worked on your core forms? Closings? We better run a tight ship. You guys wear a lot of hats. We're at a disadvantage. Most of our work is done where? Outside our office. If we were sitting behind our desk every day and everybody came to us, wouldn't that be just the grandiose icing on the cake, right? Yeah, kind of like the lenders. There's a few of them in here, no offense. We love y'all. But right? So they're at a better advantage than we are. So you got to dial this schedule in. It's got to be tight, tight, tight. So 70% of your schedule's gone. Here's what you've got left to put in there. Number five, admin task. That's your team meeting, returning emails, voicemails, training, coaching call. Number six is core. You should have an hour every week in your schedule to either be on a call or working on the call. How many of you don't have an hour in your schedule right now that says core? Pretty much the whole room. Because I get y'all's homework at 4 a.m. in the morning and 5 minutes before the call. Or while I'm on the call, subbing for another coach and the homework comes in. Or it doesn't come at all. Right? put that hour in there, why do you put that stress on yourself? My hour is always on Thursday. I was telling Katrina a funny story today. So on Thursdays, I get zero appointments. So what you guys get to do in 5 or 6 days, I get to do in 3.5. Because on Thursdays, I don't take any outside appointments. I coach all day, my team for an hour, my pipeline meeting. You know, I do private calls for offline students. I call all my students that are not on a call. Then I coach 2 hours with my students that are on calls, and then I get coached. So Thursday, no money-making skills at all for me on Thursday. Okay? So Maggie comes into my office Thursday morning. She gives me everything, and she says, "Hey, have you been fired from the Corps?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. Why?" She goes, "It's the first week this semester you haven't had extra calls on your schedule." So you think about that. It was the first time I actually had an extra hour on my schedule that I didn't have extra calls. So you guys get 5 or 5.5 days if you work a half day on the weekends to do what we as coaches most of the time only get 3.5, 4 days. Okay?
Now, Kendra, wouldn't you say that, you know, Sunday night would be a good time, a good cutoff time that all your homework should be done by?
Yeah, I always turn mine in way early because I do it the week that I'm off. So if my P&L and budget are due next Thursday, I'm working on it this Thursday because that's in my Thursday schedule. I get an hour every Thursday to work on my core homework.
So you know that, you know, once Sunday hits, then you're into a new week. So we should have it done. Then you can be current on the week.
Most of you are still doing it that morning. Okay, so that was number 6, core homework and your calls. And the last one is financials, leadership, and owner duties. Oh, by the way, you own your own business, right? So somebody's got to do the financials. Somebody's got to love on the team and be the leader. Because that's really not something you can delegate. You're going to have to do that. So let me ask you guys a question. Do we have a mic? Yeah. So let's ask some questions on this table. Who wants to share? When you look at that, how do you feel? What's that feeling rising up in you when you sit there and look at that calendar? Robert, you want to share?
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming, right? This is where the realization hits that you're probably understaffed. How many of you can look at this and say, "Oh my gosh, I need some help"? That's usually the biggest aha in this class is you're understaffed. And Rick talks all the time about the bench. The bench. If you're on a call with Rick or you've talked to him since you've been here, how big's your bench? You got anybody extra on the bench? And the reason he says that is he has been where we all are right now. And the way he fixed it was he added to the bench. I don't know a man that gets more done in less time than Rick. If you've been to a site visit at his office, it's like boom, boom, boom. He ain't got time to talk. He's running up and down the halls. He's in the bathroom. He's in the kitchen getting a sandwich. He's like, he makes me tired, and I think I'm pretty efficient. But he's got enough people that he just sticks to the schedule. He gets it done, and he goes home. He gets to play golf every week. How many of you would like to have a golf game back at once a month? Right? Just once a month. Could I just play once a month? Okay? So the only way to get to time management skills is you got to practice them. Somebody's got to hold you accountable to that.
Looks good.
Me. You got to make sure your spouse is holding you accountable to the date nights, right? Your kids have got to hold you accountable to, why aren't you guys taking a date night with your kids? Guys, if you got a little girl at home, better be taking her and showing her how she should be treated, right? What you got, Jeremy?
Can you explain how you guys delegate your core work to your RP1s?
I'll be happy to. I don't hold a lead tracker because no calls come to me, remember? So I don't manage a lead tracker anymore. It's fabulous. All the calls come to the office, they go on the lead tracker. So when my homework is due, guess what? Somebody else totals it and gets it ready to go. Same thing with the pay log. Why do I need the pay log? My closing coordinator needs the pay log. Every time a closing comes in, she writes it on there. When it's time for pay log, guess what I get? Copy of it totaled up. So those are two forms I never look at, okay? The other two, I do my own personal budget, and I do it with my family. So here's the coolest thing I can tell you about doing your personal budget with your kids and your spouse. So many of us make money evil, okay? I'm not going to tell my wife we're struggling. I'm not going to tell my husband we can't take that trip. And so we bury ourselves, and we put those barriers with our spouses, okay? Nobody has to raise their hand. We've all done it. So what I started doing when I got in the Corps is my husband had never written a check. Funny story, went to the bank, tried to write a check for some cash, and they called me and said, I think your checkbook's been stolen. This is, I've never seen this. And his name was on the account, right? Because he had never written a check for 10 or 12 years. So we started doing it together. We did it on Sunday afternoon. And since Corey was a little boy, his job is he stuffs the envelopes. So I write the check, my husband writes the amount on the budget, and my son stuffs the envelopes. My son is graduating from high school with $7,400 in his bank account that he has saved. Because he has watched our money grow. We have taught him how to have his own account. We give him a monthly allowance just like we give ourselves a monthly allowance. And if he takes his lunch every day, I buy the groceries, he gets to save his money. If he buys lunch with the cool kids, he runs out of money. He can't save it. So he's been saving $100 a month since he was probably 8 or 9 or 10 years old. I've been in the Corps 10 years. We do the same thing. He does chores, he gets money. He's getting to the point at 13, 14, 15 years old, what do you want for Christmas? Money. He's really a rich kid, but you got to get your kids involved in money. A lot of us in the Corps got in the Corps because we were struggling with money, right? Me included, I didn't have any. So you got to teach your kids. So the budget we do as a family is one of the highlights of my month, is sitting down going through the budget. We open all the statements together. We write all the totals down. It's just a game. It's just a game. The profit and loss, I don't do anymore. The girl who does all my books and everything does it. I get a printout of the Quicken report and a printout of the P&L, and I sit down and make sure it all reconciles and everything looks good. I initial it, and then it's good to go to my core coach. How do you do it?
Well, it's a great idea going through that money deal with your kids, having to sit down, because my wife does our personal budget. She does a great job at it. I do the lead tracker because I want to remember the leads. I want to remember where they're from. And I also do the pay log because, as far as I'm concerned, that is the greatest form on earth when you do that pay log. I love that.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're having a little bit of trouble implementing that. This is my first semester, and when my RP1 is now managing my email, which my voicemail is transcribed, so there's an email for every phone call that comes in, what is the best practice for integrating my lead tracker that I'm carrying and the one that she's creating just every day?
If you ever, you know, are on a coaching call with me, you'll get two lead trackers. You'll get my buyer's lead tracker and my lead tracker. 3 minutes? Okay. So I send both of them in and I only total one. So that's how I do it. And that way they keep their, because I make everybody on my team has their own lead tracker. My buyer's agents have their lead tracker and their pay logs and yeah.
Whatever it is, just do it the same.
Every time.
Week.
That's right.
The same.
Okay. Let me run through this right here. Did we cover disorganization? Did you get some systems to take care of disorganization? Yes or no? I can't hear you. Okay. Clients, Not
getting service.
Oh, did we give you ideas of how to service your clients better with time follow-up? So obviously, if you're taking care of them, calling them on your status call, your theme call days, right? Client parties. Okay. All right. So take care of that. Focus is just going to be better systems. Ellie, did you get some help with that? Okay. Distractions, we helped you with that, right? Okay, delayed closings, you dang lenders, stop delaying our closings. And we don't have those distractions anymore. Okay, poor delegation. Did we cover delegation? Helping you get some stuff off of your schedule? Okay, did we get it? And sloppy systems. I hope you got some systems today. Did everybody get what they came for? Okay, surveys on page 302. We love fives. We hope we worked really hard for your five. And if you have questions, we'll be here for a couple minutes. Go to lunch. Thank you for coming. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Corps Sales Training Bootcamp. For registration information about our two-day business building summits, call 1-800-660-6670 or find us on the web at www.lecorestraining.com.